stopped at a roadhouse in Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dan. And the song that was playing on the jukebox was all about a truck driving man. It's pour me another cup of coffee, for it is the best in the land.
That's Steve Goodman, ladies and gentlemen, and sitting in my studio, two of the brightest and most talented young women I have met in some time, though they're a little nervous and they're laughing. Jasmine Kwong and Megan Doherty are the two people who have put together a magnificent book titled, If You Weren't Looking For It, The Seminary Co-op Bookstore. They have an idiot named Rick Kogan contributing a story about bookstores in here. But ladies, this book is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Don't they sound nice, everybody? They're really smart, too.
We've
They're
been very, practicing very that smart. All day.
How did the book come to be?
Well, the book is kind of the capstone to an almost five-year-long documentary project effort focusing on the Seminary Co-op bookstore in Hyde Park.
Yeah. Started by whom?
Well, both of us, actually. We heard that the co-op was moving from its, you know, 50-plus-year iconic labyrinth-like basement location. And we thought, well, gosh, I really hope someone is doing something to document it in this particular physical space while it still exists there. And so I thought to myself, well, maybe I should go and take some photos. And Jasmine thought to herself, well, maybe I should go and do some portraits of some patrons and some of the people who work there.
You also wrote a three-part article to celebrate their 50th anniversary.
I did. That was in Gaber's Block, right. God Rest Its Soul. And Jasmine read that story and reached out to me and said, so is this part of the larger project? What are you doing on the co-op?
Let's meet up and chat.
Yeah. So we met at Robust Coffee down on 63rd and Woodlawn one afternoon and decided to put our heads together on a larger project.
What was it about the co-op that so got not just under your skin but in your head and hearts too? Jasmine?
To me, it was really a gut feeling. I just knew that it was a special place. There's something about getting lost in the basement where there were just books and books and books and no walls, just books.
Yeah.
It's like a rite of passage, especially for like us, for students who
sure,
go to the University of Chicago. So...
Well, you must have also, I mean, there's a point where when you talk to people to whom that has been a dear place for decades, that's when you both, because you're both young people, that's when you really, isn't it, started to get that sense of the half-century importance of this unique and distinctive place.
Yeah, absolutely. And the former general manager for almost the entire history of the co-op, Jack Sella, has, I think, a boatload of stories that he will be putting together of his own.
Oh, he'll be doing a sort of companion volume, would you call this? How did it go from two smart young students into this astonishingly, and I'm not kidding you, astonishingly handsome book. That's a big leap from, oh, yeah, let's have coffee and we love the store and let's do
something.
There was
much more passion behind let's have coffee. But
somewhat like the co-op, the project grew organically, slowly over
the course
of time.
One thing led to another. We decided, what? No one else is doing this? We have to do something. And then we started to telling people what we were doing, and then they were like, well, you should talk to so-and-so, and so-and-so should talk to so-and-so. And so one of the first so-and-sos in here was the people at the Special Collections Research Center at the University of Chicago. So we lucked out because at the time that we were doing this project, taking photographs and whatnot, the Mansueto Library just happened, and then the Special Research Collection Center got a new gallery. So they were like, well, next year we actually have a time slot. Why don't we exhibit your
work? Oh, I didn't
know
that.
And then we started talking to the Hyde Park Historical Society. Mm-hmm. They invited us to do a presentation.
So at the end of the day, we have all these photos. We wound up doing audio interviews as well.
Megan, are all the photos in the book yours?
Oh, no. They're split between me and Jasmine.
Because they're stunning. You're both, I know you're not both professional photographers.
Megan's a better photographer than me.
They really are stunning. So you start to pull this project together, then you say, well, we need to talk to idiots like Rick Kogan because he's probably been here, though he didn't go to the U of C. Or we need to talk to the former Poet Laureate of the United States, Mark Strand. I mean, how did you winnow down the...
Well, Jack Sella knows basically everybody.
Correct.
So he was one of our first stops to say, hey, who do you think would be good if we're going to do a book?
And what did Jack first think of the idea of a book?
Oh, he was completely behind it.
Right.
Everyone was completely behind it.
I think at first the book was going to just focus on the co-op. And then I had talked to a publisher way back when, the beginning, and he suggested, well, why don't you make it more general to reach a larger audience, go beyond just one bookstore, talk about, you know, independent bookstores, physical books, mm-hmm. bookstores, and mm-hmm. reading more generally. And then we just sort of came up with a target list of people, and we tried to mm-hmm. see if they would write something for the book.
Were they all as, I wouldn't say I was eager, but were they all as accepting of this as I?
I think that everybody thought it was a great idea.
Good.
And
I'm glad to hear
even
that.
If they felt like they didn't have the time to do mm-hmm. it, or they didn't feel like they knew the co-op well enough to contribute something, they would all say, this is a really great idea, and I'm so glad you're doing it.
Who surprised you?
In what way?
In what they wrote or contributed.
I think the other Roger, the poet, wrote a really beautiful story. And I don't know that I was expecting quite like what he came up with. It mm-hmm. was very unique, but just a supremely beautiful thing to read about his experience moving to Chicago and how Chicago hooked him and got under his skin.
Well, you also have there's a lovely piece by Blue Balliot. One of Hyde Park's loveliest people and greatest writers, the author of young adult books. What I want Blue to do now is write like the adult novel. You know what I mean? What do you mean? Why are you making a face?
I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, you are. Okay,
you can tell
good.
Her in person if you come to the
book release party next week.
She'll be there.
I haven't seen Blue in a long time. Is the public invited to this?
Yes.
Why not? Of course they are. Of course they should be.
Everybody is invited.
Yes. It is Saturday from 4:30 to 6 at 5751 South Woodlawn in the heart of Hyde Park, in the heart of the University of Chicago campus. We got to take a short little break here. We'll come back and talk. Now, I have the hardcover.
Yes.
This book release party will also feature a softcover edition, will it not?
Yes. The hardcover is basically sold out already.
Has it really?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first printing?
Not that many copies. We got funding to print 100 copies.
That's all? That's crazy. I hope there are about 1,000, at least 1,000 copies of the softcover book. I am speaking with the two, what do you call yourselves, the editors of it, the compilers of it, the
Lord
creators?
Founders, creators.
Yeah, the creators. I like the word creators. They're the co-creators of If You Weren't Looking For It, the Seminary Co-op Bookstore book. Again, the party is Saturday from 4:30 to 6, 5751 South Woodlawn, or just go to semcoop-project.org. Correct, ladies? Okay. We'll be right back. That's the last you'll hear of Steve Goodman tonight. I hope it helps you forget the debate. My guests are Megan Doherty and Jasmine Kwong, who have created a magnificent, in every single way. My contribution is the weakest thing about this book. I'm
not
serious.
True.
Not
the
at all
photographs,
true. I love the way that your essay starts.
Thanks. But I'm one of the people, distinguished people, who've contributed to this book. But what I really like about this book also are the stunning photography that also captures the real people who hang out and for whom the seminary is a, not to make too much of it, but it's a real oasis for them and a safe place.
The people was definitely my draw to the project. That was my first reaction, first of all, was, no, I can't believe the co-op is moving. And then once I was kind of recovered from that shock, I went back to the bookstore managers and I said to them, you know, I can take some photos, anything you want, just let me know. And in particular, I would love to photograph portraits of people in the store. So I'm more of a portrait artist. And so I'm also bringing this up because it's great that I found Megan as a collaborator because we have very different styles of photography. And so I think we really complemented each other, not just on the photography, actually, but just for the project as a whole.
I know you were not able, because it's very expensive to do, to print many hardcover copies. But what has been the reaction of those who have seen the book? Jack Sella, what did Jack think when he finally saw it? I'm sure he was sort of intimately involved all the way through, but when people finally saw it, especially some of the people featured in here who were not famous and who did not contribute other than holding a book for your cameras.
Well, I think, we don't know what Jack Sella said the moment he opened it because we weren't there.
Yeah.
But we first saw the hardcovers when we went to a meeting at the co-op, and the current manager, Jeff Deutsch, kind of kept them as a surprise for us and then walked out having hidden one behind his back and then just said, it's a beautiful book. And I think you did scream. But that was all I really needed to hear was someone who's, you know, been in the book business forever validating it for us like that, saying it's a beautiful book. Then I knew we did a good job.
You two guys are making no money off this project. I can't imagine that. I mean, this was for you guys a proverbial labor of love.
A big one, yes.
A big one, no kidding. You seem to get along so well as people, but also in manifesting in this book as collaborators. Is there any notion of, and you come across a story like the co-op very often, but is there a notion of another project for the two of you?
Well, there's been mention of documenting the 57th Street bookstore as well.
That's not a bad idea.
I don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but do you remember when Jack Spicer first told us about this?
No, I don't know. I guess some ideas have been bandied around, but we might need to detox a little bit from this one first before we jump into another multi-year endeavor.
Well, they can have cocktails Saturday, as can you. There's a formal release party of, I guess, the paperback version of this, which I can't wait to see. It's got to be equally... It's got to be equally as handsome, except
we'll
for
we'll probably
this
be
kind
seeing it the
cover.
First time that day.
Is
ourselves.
That right?
Yes.
Where'd you have this book printed?
Ryder Dickerson.
Okay.
They've been fantastic to work with.
I'm sure they have. 4:30 to 6 Saturday at 5751 South Woodlawn in the heart of Hyde Park. Go to SEM Co-op, COOP. It would be SEMCOOP-project.org. You two have to be terribly, you can both be a little self-effacing for my taste, but you guys have got to be incredibly proud of this thing, aren't you?
Yes.
I think we're also just very relieved.
Yes.
Did you know Blue Balliet before? Called her, emailed her, said, hi, would you like to write a story for us?
Pretty much.
And she was, of course, all over that.
Yes, luckily. That's how it worked with anybody. We just, you know, cold emailed people. If someone had given us a personal recommendation, then we mentioned that and just hoped for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Did you work your photography? I'm not being hyperbolic here, but your photography is stunning.
We didn't pay him to say that.
Did you work? No, they didn't. They couldn't pay me. They have no money. They're college kids. Did you collaborate with the designer of this? Because also the design of this book, all the way down to the cloth cover of the hardcover, is fantastic too.
I brought on Tom Tien, who is our book designer. He's also an alumnus of the University of Chicago. We met through photography also, actually. I think we were at some event where he was a photographer and we started talking. And then later on, I knew that he did design work, so I got him to design my business cards. And then I think what probably really made us decide to work with him was because he had just, when we talked to him, successfully designed and published a book with another photographer.
Yes, yes. Carlos Ortiz is a fabulous, you know, documentary photographer here in Chicago, and he did a multi-year project on youth violence called Too Young to Die, and the book was called We All We Got, and it's a stunningly beautiful book of photography. And so seeing what he was capable of doing made it pretty easy to go with him for this.
What did this project make you appreciate more about yourselves?
What do you think, Jasmine?
Wow. What a question.
I think, you know, I'm a freelance photographer and writer, so I kind of work in a bit of a void.
Sure.
It's wonderful to be able to write stories about people, take photographs of people, but I'm still fundamentally working alone and by myself. So this was a breath of fresh air to be able to have someone who I could collaborate with on something, bounce ideas off of her. Hey, what do you think of this? Do you think it's a good idea? And if she says, oh, yeah, that's great. Then I say, oh, yeah, that was a great idea. Wonderful. As opposed to being constantly plagued by the creative person's endless cycle of doubt.
Of course.
Is this a good idea?
Second
is
guessing, yes.
Exactly.
Jasmine, that obviously that collaborative, when you find a great collaborator, it's like nothing
you could have
imagined.
I mean, like I'm a very persistent person, but I'm also very motivated by others, and so having a collaborator in Megan just meant that we got what we needed to do done. And I mean, this was a long-term project. There's no way we could have imagined where it was going to go.
Was there any moment, the minute we have left, was there any moment you said, ah, the hell with it?
No.
Is that right? Over 5 years. That's pretty good. I mean, no, it wasn't every day you were discussing this thing.
The book has been sort of on our minds for at least 4 of those years.
Yeah.
It took a lot longer than we thought because we had never done anything like this before. But we were committed to seeing it through.
Well, I'll tell you something else, ladies, that I have not seen anything like this quite before. I've seen tens of thousands of books, but I have never seen one as beautifully designed and as kind of, and I love bookstores, as heartfelt as this one. And that is no hyperbole, and we're not at the Billy Goat, and I'm not rambling about it. We're right here. The title is If You Weren't Looking For It, The Seminary Co-op Bookstore. It is, those of you who've listened to the show for years know my great and undying affection for independent bookstores, and this is nothing if not a love letter to a great independent bookstores. Congratulations, ladies.
Thank you.
The party is Saturday from 4:30 to 6. You can buy copies of the softcover book if there's not a run on them. You might see me, and you'll certainly see Blue Balliet, and you'll see a lot of other nice people, and you'll see a great bookstore. 5751 South Woodlawn, or go to semcoop-project.org. Jasmine Kwong and Megan Doherty, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've done good, as professors say at the University of Chicago. We'll be right back.